I was talking with some folks earlier who were glad that we had come today, and this is a great place. It's not because of Pastor Mike or Ed or any of us. It's because the Lord is here. He is alive and powerful, and He is in our presence. And what's really great is He's in our hearts, those of us that call Him our King. And so it's just a great place, Trail Community Church. It's great to come here. It's great to worship Him and to fellowship. But it's also great to get into His Word. And this on Father's Day, if we could have all the fathers, father figures, grandfathers, please stand. It's a great thing to be a dad or a future dad, because you are the spiritual leader of your family. And you know that. You know that you touch your daughters and your sons in a profound way, but it's through His Spirit that we do that. What a blessing we get to be when we get to be dads and grandfathers and to be able to bless our families by that spiritual leadership. If I could have Ed please pray over these men as they continue their ministry in doing this.
Father, we are grateful, Lord, that You have provided this opportunity. Lord, it's an awesome responsibility to be just a father, to raise kids, to watch them grow, to try and turn them away from the mistakes they might make. But Lord, it's an even greater responsibility to teach them to follow You. Father, I pray for each one here this morning, whether it's for sons or daughters or grandkids or whatever it might be, Lord, that our influence might be such that those hearts would be touched and drawn to You. Thank You, Father, for the privilege that we have to be a part of drawing these young people to You. Lord, thank You. Pray for Your special blessing on each father, each grandfather here this morning. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank You. Thank you, brothers, for being willing to stand as dads and grandfathers and guardians of your family. What a privilege it is. And I'm very blessed to have my family here today. I have Ashley and Ben Espindola and little Zoe. Ashley's 33 days away from her due date. Yeah. And Abigail and her friend, who happens to be a boy, Dylan, is here. And Eveling, whose husband is in her former hometown, Managua. Eveling came up about a month ago, right? About a month ago, and she's going to get married in about a month at Cascade Christian High School. All of you are invited, July 22nd. And Tiana Marlene, who is going to fly the friendly skies this afternoon to be down there for Vacation Bible School. What, about 400 boys and girls? It's quite a group that comes every year. And Lorraine, you're going down in about a month, right?
End of July.
And Mike as well. So bless you guys for going down there and loving on the folks of Managua. And, of course, Kathy, who is the caregiver and friend of my brother, and Marlene is here today, and so we're just privileged to be here with you. If you'll open God's Word and turn to John chapter 14. In thinking about the message for today, there's been so much going on in my life. I just retired on Friday after 35 years of being a school teacher. I've wrapped it up and put a bow on it last Friday, and so it's going to be exciting to see what the Lord has for me next to do as far as income. But it was great to be a teacher at Shady Cove Middle School and to be there, but that chapter has ended, and so we're looking forward to see what the Lord has for me. But in thinking about today, I want to focus on this one verse, John 14, verse 6. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so, Lord, we do again just seek you, that, Lord, may it not be me, Father, today speaking, but, Lord, may it be your profound Spirit speaking clearly to each and every one of us what you have to say. For, Lord, I am just a small voice, and, Lord, you are the Lord, you are the God. You are the only way to salvation and to a life of victory this side of heaven. So, Lord, we listen to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. No man comes to the Father but by me. On this Father's Day, we're going to look at the Heavenly Father, who is our Papa, our Rapa, our King, and our joy. I've entitled today's message, Intolerant Father. Well, you know how fathers can be, earthly fathers, that is. They can be opinionated. They can be, you know, that saying, one way, my way, no highway option. Sometimes fathers don't even give the highway option. It's just their way. Dads can be opinionated. Dads can be dads. And yet, when we look at our Heavenly Father, I noticed yesterday, he said, no man comes to the Father but by me. Only Jesus is the only way for eternal life, to be saved from my sin. It's Jesus and Jesus only. But we live in a wacky time. Did you know that? We live in crazy days. Those of us that have lived a decade or three, we know what life used to be like. Those of us that are younger, you know, you've grown up in these days and you've grown accustomed to, well, these things just go on. But those of us that are a bit older, we know that there was a different time in life. And we do live in wacky times and wacky situations. Yesterday, I was reading about, in Canada, a soccer league for kids where they're doing away with wins and losses. They're not going to have standings. As a matter of fact, they're not going to keep score anymore. And so they're just going to watch the soccer ball go into the net and cheer for the kids and call everything good. That's hard for me. That is really hard for me, and I know that for many of you who are competitive. Can you imagine Oregon State not keeping score yesterday? I don't think that would work for many Beaver fans. I read a survey yesterday about lying, about not telling the truth, and how the survey said that we live in such a day where more people lie. More people are not telling the truth. And then in the survey, they talked to psychologists who said, well, actually, these people that lie all the time, there's a place for them too, because they make good salesmen. They make good saleswomen. They make great politicians. And so lying has its place in our culture, they were saying, that it's actually a good practice. Wacky days that we live in. And as Christians, don't you know, don't you sense it, that we're being more ostracized as time goes on? Oh, those Christians, they're the ones that are narrow-minded. Those Christians, they're the ones that are bigoted. Those Christians, they're the ones that are really, really messed up. Do you sense that? I know I do, that more and more, we as Christians, and being a teacher as I was in a very liberal-minded group of people, and more you hear that. Oh, it's those Christians that are narrow-minded. We may be bigoted. We may be narrow-minded. But one day, soon and very soon, all of us are going to stand before the King of Kings. actually kneel. And we'll either be standing or kneeling before our Heavenly Father, or we'll be before the great white throne judgment, before the judge. Which one are you going to be today? Is it going to be before our Heavenly Father or before our earthly judge? If you'll turn to Matthew chapter 7, I just count it great joy when I can get in the Word, even if it's just for a short time. It just washes me. Don't you sense that? When we just can read the Word. I remember years ago, I was playing Monopoly with my brother-in-laws, John and Steve, and I forget what rule it was, but there was some rule Steve said about pass and go and when you can start buying properties. And I said, not so. And John agreed. And Steve said, yes, so. And he broke out the rule book, as Uncle Steve would, and he said, here it is, right in black and white. And sure enough, Uncle Steve was correct. I didn't know that about Monopoly, that you could, whatever it was at the time, you could start buying properties after you went around a certain number of times. I say that to say this, it's great to get in the Word. It's great to point the Word out to other people. This is what it says in black, red, and white, what Jesus has to say, what the truth has to say. So we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Here's what Jesus says. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. I'll read it again. Enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there will go through it. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there will find it. That's humbling to me. That should be humbling to you too, in such a day when so many, living in the greatest country on the planet, with so many freedoms and so many blessings, say no to Jesus and yes to tolerance and yes to not being narrow-minded. But Jesus here says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And you say, but Fred, there are many religions that lead to Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Call it what you wish. Jesus is the only way. I would be amiss to tell you otherwise. No matter what you hear out there, no matter what you see on the screen, Jesus is the only way. And that's very narrow because it says it right here. Few will find it. In Numbers chapter 22, verse 26, if you'll turn there briefly, Numbers 22, verse 26. And God's anger was kindled before Balaam. Balaam was a dude that he lived in a day such as ours that was really wacky, really crazy. And Balaam was not listening to his Lord. Verse 26, and the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a, what does your Bible say? Narrow place. This is the first mention of narrow in the Bible, where was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the donkey with his staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey and said unto Balaam, what have I done unto you that you have smitten me three times? And Balaam said unto the donkey, because you have mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now would I kill you. Balaam did not get it. The Lord was talking to him, telling him to turn from his wicked way in a narrow place. And so much, so often, in this world that we live in, we are welcome into the world of tolerance because that's what everybody else is doing. But Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." It's good to be narrow-minded. We don't hear that, but it's good to be narrow-minded in the world that we live in. Let's say that I'm traveling on Highway 227, that beautiful highway that takes you to Canyonville from here. And let's say I go, "Oh, you know what? It's narrow-minded for me to drive just on the right side of the road. How about I just go on the left?" And I pick up speed and I go past Loper Lane and I start hitting the curves and I'm driving on the left because, you know what? I don't want to be narrow-minded. Or let's say that Mrs. A goes and has her hair done and she's going to get her hair colored. And the hair creative stylist says, "You know what? Today, let's go with a different color. Kathy, let's go ahead and color your hair with a little of this and a little of that." Oh, Kathy says, "No, I don't want that color." "Oh, Kathy, that's so narrow-minded. You need to open up a little bit more and just not be so bigoted toward these other colors, for crying out loud." Or let's say I go to Costco Pharmacy and I need to pick up a prescription. And I go to the little window where the pharmacist is, and she says, "Here's your pills." And I said, "Well, what are these called? What are these for?" And she goes, "Oh, don't be so narrow-minded. There's all kinds of pretty colors in here. We got some reds and greens and blues. No problem. Don't be so narrow-minded. These pills are all just pills." Or how about if, Tiana, you're on the jet this afternoon and on your flight, and the pilot opens the door and gets out and says, "Oh, let's fly to Nashville. Let's go and get some old country music at the old Opry. We don't need to go to Managua. You can just go ahead and sit back. We'll enjoy Nashville for a while." And Tiana says, "No, we really need to..." "Oh, Tiana, don't be so narrow-minded. We don't need to listen to the air traffic controllers. When we land, we'll just land. We're sure the tarmac will be open." Or how about if you go to the Chevron in Shady Cove and you pull up there and the attendant takes out that green nozzle. "Hey, let's put some diesel in your car." And you go, no, don't do that. And he says, "Don't be so narrow-minded. There are no rules here. It's going to be good for your gas tank." It's good to be narrow-minded because we live in a culture that has gone insane, where the truth has become wrong. Our moral code is anything goes, but all roads lead to God, Fred. "I am the way, the truth, and the life," Jesus says. "No man comes to the Father but by me." So your God is so intolerant then. Yeah, we have an intolerant Father. And we are here to please him because Jesus is the one that made the way for us. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Why is that, Fred? Why so narrow the gate? Why so narrow the way in the 21st century where anything goes? Well, when it comes to your salvation and eternal life, I need to wake up. You need to wake up that narrow is the way. Two reasons, I believe, that I found in this word. Number one, to keep it simple. Keep it simple. I'm a simpleton. I love simple things, don't you? And so I believe that the Lord made it real simple, whether we grew up in the 9th century or the 21st century, whether we had the word in our hands or whether we didn't. That God made it really simple to every woman, to every man, to every child, that he is the way. that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And so, to keep it real simple, we either believe it or we don't. Acts chapter 4, turn there real quick. Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of all the people of Israel. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you well. This is a stone which was set at naught of your builders, which is become the head of the corner. Now check out verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'll read that again. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And we can point this out to people that either we believe it or we don't. Either we believe what God's word says or they don't believe in God's word. That's the bottom line. Narrow is the way. So number one, either I believe it or we don't. God just makes it very simple for us. And the Bible says, choose you this day whom you will serve. We're going to serve either the Lord or we're going to serve the devil. Bob Dylan many years ago wrote a song about that. You may be the ambassador to England or France. You might like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialized with a long string of pearls, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to serve somebody. It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. And Bob Dylan, with all the issues that he's had, got it right. Because either I'm serving the flesh and the devil in this world, or either I'm living for Jesus. It's real simple. And number one, to keep it simple, and then number two, to keep it real. Turn to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah 5, verse 20. The Lord wants to keep it real simple to all of his creation that Jesus is the only way. And then number two, he wants to keep it real, making sure that we understand that he is a just God. Here's what verse 20 and following say. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Does that describe 2017 in the United States of America? As a school teacher, I see that in myself. I see that in my students. You see, knowledge puffs up. Oh, I know so much. I have access to so much information. We have technology today, and we can research and understand anything. And knowledge at this rate is doubling every 18 months now. And man and women, we have become worshipers of how much we know. But isn't it amazing how stupid we become because of all that knowledge? Wisdom is different. Wisdom comes from God's word. And wisdom helps me, helps you navigate this crazy life and helps us to be wise people. And so these two verses really describe just where we're at. But our Lord Jesus Christ, he is a just God. And he says, choose you this day who you will serve, because God is just, but he's also the judge. Last night, like you folks, I got to witness a graduation. I got to witness Tiana and Alonzo graduate at the RCC graduation. And last night, before all family and friends and all the faculty and staff, Tiana went up and received her associate's degree. Now, the staff was there. Her teachers and professors were there as the judge of her body of work. They were there to verify that Tiana passed her classes and that she indeed received all the credits. That's the way our God is. When we get to heaven, he is going to be a just God, but he's also going to be the judge. And he will judge me based on, do I know him as my Savior or do I not? That's the bottom line. But as my Heavenly Father, he loves me. He loves you. And if you've received the gift, he is your Heavenly Father come that day. God came as Jesus to take our sin away. To put it more practically, he came for me because he's my Father. He came for you because he's your Heavenly Father. Let's say that I tear out of here and I speed down, not 227 this time, but I speed down Highway 62. And I go past Train Lane and Hudspeth, and I'm weaving all over, and I'm going 90 miles an hour through Shady Cove. Well, Sheriff Matt is right there, you know where, right at the Shady Cove Library. And he takes off after me. He's chasing me. And he pulls me off after the bridge in South Shady Cove, and he goes, Fred, what were you thinking? I go, oh, I just don't want to be narrow-minded. I decided to go 90 in a 35. Come on, it's 2017. Well, he takes me off to jail. And the next day, I stand before the judge. I stand trial. But I look up, and oh, happy day, my dad is the judge. And I think, oh, that's great, my dad, Papa. And he looks at me real sternly and puts on the judge's regalia and hits the gavel and here's my case, and he says, well, Frederick, it's going to be $50,000 or 20 years in prison for what you did. And I go, how can this be? I was just sinning. And he takes off his gown, he unzips it, unbuttons it, and he comes down and he says, Freddie, as the judge, the price must be paid. But as your dad, I will pay the price. And that's what our Heavenly Father did for us. He is so wanting to take off the judge and wants to be your Heavenly Father. He wants a relationship with you. You say, Fred, I already know him. Great. Every single day, we get that opportunity to know him even more. And so, before we graduate into heaven, hold on to your Father. Talk to him constantly, with each and every breath, because, like that group Switchfoot says, each breath is a second chance. And we need that. We need to embrace that grace that only he can give to us. So today, I want to wish the dads a happy Father Day. But also, I want to wish each and every one of us a wonderful grace day in that our Heavenly Father loves us so much that he came and he died for us and he wants to be your Father. Your Heavenly Father, if you don't know him, because he loves you so much. Let's pray. Father, you are our Father, and you love us so very much, and you care about each and every one of us that is in your house right now. Father, you care about our hurts, our worries, our cares, our burdens, our bummers, our depressions, all of these things, Father, you care about them. So much so, Lord, that you want to take them away from us. Oh, Father, do a work right now. Father, may we give our burdens and our cares to you even right now. And Lord, may we seek your face each and every day, knowing that you listen to us, and that, Lord, you are so good, and your mercy endures forever, and we praise you for that. But Lord, I sense by your Spirit that there are somebody or somebodies in here that may not know you as Father. Lord, your word says that if they will open their heart to you, that you will come in. Father, I pray this over this congregation, that if there be somebody here that does not know you, that they will open their heart and that you will go into theirs. Because, Father, your word says, choose you this day who you will serve. Oh, Lord. Father, may they be one that chooses you. Because your word says, you even said it, narrow is the way and narrow is the gate. Oh, Lord, we've lost our way in this country. We've lost our way in this world. We need to humble ourselves and pray. But, Lord, more importantly than our country or this world, our very soul, Father, may we just pray to you now and thank you for your goodness. And that, Lord, that in a world that has lost its way, that, Father, you are the way, the truth, and the life. Father, we love you. And so, Lord, I just want to pray right now for the people that do not know you. If you don't know Jesus and you would like to know him today, won't you pray to him? And won't you raise your hand so that I can pray for you today? Raise your hand if you want to accept the greatest gift, Jesus Christ, into your life today. You say, Fred, I have this burden or this bummer, and I would like to have prayer for it. Would you please raise your hand so I can pray for you today? Lord, we thank you that you take our blues away. That, Lord, as far as the east is from the west, you take away our sin. And for that, Father, we are grateful. We are so thankful that you relieve us of our sin and that we can have victory over sin. And Father, most of all, we're so thankful that you love us and that you keep us from sin. And that, Lord, one day, not too far away, you're going to be with us and we're going to be with you. And we're going to be with family who know you, and everything is going to be made right. Lord, for that we are indeed grateful. We love you, Lord. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.